When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you go into a disco, if you go into a bar or anything like that, you're just kind of picked up and, you know, you're not kind of treated as a person, you're just kind of there, you are on the make sort of thing, you know. So we decided the best thing to do would be to see what this is like, you know.
Why did I join the Bureau? Well, the main thing was that I felt like the dances in town had nothing for me, you know. I just didn't enjoy them, sort of, and I wanted to meet sort of genuine people of my own age group. I think I met them here, you know, even men and women.
But anybody that wants to meet new friends, and it's a very good place to meet them. I've met many friends, but I'm what you call less or more a drifter. And just because I'm not settled down doesn't mean that I haven't met many nice people.
I just close my eyes and I'm all that I so wanna give you, babe. It's only a heart.
Friendship, love, romance, and marriage are very much part of human relationships. There have been all sorts of ways of bringing people together over the years. Matchmaking was at one time very popular in Ireland, but that form of establishing relationships has now been replaced by social introductory bureaus of many kinds. Brendan Coffey felt there was a great need for this sort of service here in Ireland.
I was full-time in social work in England, and over there I realised that even at personal level that it was very, very difficult for a boy or a man or an adult, as I was then in the late 30s, to make any sort of initial step in establishing a relationship with a girl. Because when you go to the dances, you find that most of the girls there are committed, and you're not too sure of the rest whether they may be committed or not, and it is very, very difficult for the fellas. And talking to girls when I came home, I find that in Dublin and in the urban areas that there is a great atmosphere of apprehension on their part, because they are not too sure whether a fellow who may look eligible, attractive, etc., etc., whether he's available or not, whether he's free for to establish a relationship, because he could be have a wife and three or four kids at home. And so I thought then, when I met Mary and got married and settled down, that it would be fulfil a social need on the Irish scene, because at that stage in 1973, there was only the Knock Bureau, which was catering in the main for the rural areas, and we set up and started advertising and made contacts with people, and from the very outset we found that very ordinary people from varying backgrounds and professions and trades and country people and city people, that the need was there, and it has been proved since the need was there. We have chalked up 83 marriages in that space of time. You may say this is a big percentage if you're an optimist, or small if you're a pessimist. The range is, at least the average, is about 1 in 20. 20 people that approach us, so far, one has married.
Brendan Coffey's success rate is impressive when one considers the haphazard encounters that Angela McNamara envisages at the more usual meeting places.
Yes, the pub, disco, dance hall, these would be the main social centres, and these would be where people go to meet people. And girls hope to meet boys and vice versa. Some of them are successful. They all meet, if you like, in the sense of coming together at some level. Sometimes it's at a very superficial level and no real friendship develops, and they can go on like that for years, going to these places and never having a real friendship. Others, I suppose, by chance or providence, or call it what you may, do meet someone with whom they can really talk, and subsequently they go to other places, or they go out for a meal together, or they go to a film or theatre, and they begin to share in a broader sense. So, in effect, they do meet suitable people, and they subsequently marry. But it's chancy.
The pub, as the accepted meeting place in Ireland, raises some questions for social psychologist Ian Hart.
The pub in Irish tradition has served the function of overcoming loneliness, perhaps much more than any other institution, even, regrettably, including that of marriage, has in Irish society in the past. And we do have to ask ourselves questions about why that should be so. Why is it that people perhaps are most themselves with a few drinks on them? And why can't they be more themselves at home? You know, we have to ask ourselves questions like that. There's no surefire way of planning how to overcome loneliness in people. One can provide them with opportunities of overcoming loneliness, but in a way there is a great chance element in it all, and a lot depends on the possibility of someone coming into a relationship with one which is enhancing, which does enhance one's whole being, and which is an accepting kind of relationship, so one can be oneself in that relationship. And if one can't be oneself in one's fundamental relationships, then one will be lonely, because one is not ultimately being valued in those relationships. Aspects of one may be valued, such as one's good looks or one's intelligence or one's social status, but one's being as such isn't. And when one is in that kind of situation, one really is at risk of grave loneliness.
Why be lonely? You will find our group congenial. Dancing to the latest music, your admission just $2. Hundreds of attractive singles Saturday. Why be lonely? Why be lonely? Why be lonely? We can match you to a compatible friend who's lonely too. Price includes hors d'oeuvres.
I would like to see myself as a creator of courting opportunities, and that our service is geared to people on either side of the sex divide for whom those opportunities are either limited or non-existent. And that is quite a large percentage of the adult population, because the commercial enterprises do not seem... They cater for entertainment, of course. You have the discos, and very well run discos too, and dances, very well organised dances. But there is in the cities that anonymity in those places that people can hide behind, and which makes it more difficult for people who are genuine and sincere and trying to meet people, not specifically perhaps for marriage, but to meet people that they would like to meet again and socialise with.
Problem Page columnist Angela McNamara feels that the difficulty in establishing relationships stems from the wrong kind of education.
I think that the difficulty is because people are trying to measure up to what they believe is their role in life and not being able to be themselves. We don't allow people to be themselves. And so they feel, I'm known perhaps in a certain role, but I'm not known as I know myself. And that's the way I'd like to be known and accepted.
What do you think is to blame for this, giving people certain roles?
I think our system of education is wrongly oriented anyway. I think it should be scrapped from top to bottom, because I think nowadays it's almost daily more clearly recognised that people need to be educated to fulfil their role as people, more than to become academic robots. And even though, of course, I see the importance of academic learning, I feel that the priority should be given to human authenticity. I think to be authentically human is very much more important, and I feel that we have to learn this. It's not just something that happens. I feel that skillful human relating should be learned and should be taught almost as a science.
Yes, I think there's quite a lot of value in marriage bureaus as the kind of introductory ploy, you see. Like, you know, I mean, in some ways, meeting someone through a marriage bureau might be better than meeting someone in a crowded disco, you know, or meeting someone at work, or meeting someone in the supermarket, or wherever one meets people. And there's something to be said for it. But I would emphasize that it's kind of just the opening of the door, you know, that it's an introduction only, and that what happens then is very much up to oneself and the other person. And there's no surefire way of guaranteeing success, you know. One could, of course, say, well, look, I will live my life in such a way that I will only put 30% of myself into any one relationship, a kind of insurance policy against disaster. But if you do that, you also won't get much out of it, you see. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a law of nature in that, that unless you put yourself fully into something, well, it's unlikely to be any great shakes anyway.
When a person applies to an introductory service or a marriage bureau or what, the very fact of applying does not mean that that person is marriage material. And I would not take it upon myself, because I don't think that I'm competent, and I don't believe that anybody else is competent either, to determine who might be a marriage partner for somebody else. God knows it is hard enough to decide it for yourself, but to take mere statistics and to say, well, that person would be suited to that, I frankly don't believe that that is possible, because you have to leave room for the fact that there is a depth of individuality in each one's personality that cannot be quantified on paper.
Many years have come and gone since I wandered from my home in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Many a page of life has turned, many a lesson I have learned, and it's in those hills I feel that I belong.
Saturday night, a hotel in Dublin. 75 men and 75 women have gathered for a singles get-together. All members of Brendan Coffey's Universal Bureau, and all anxious to meet people.
Life is my occupation in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. As I turn life page to the land of the great Osage, in the Oklahoma hills where I was born. Where the Black Bull River flows and the snow white cotton grows, and it's in those hills I feel that I belong.
Why did I join the Bureau? Well, the main thing was that I felt like the dances in town had nothing for me. You know, I just didn't enjoy them, sort of, and I wanted to meet sort of genuine people of my own age group. I think I met them here, you know, even men and women. Well, now, having gone to the first one about a year ago, and you get to know the people at it, and you know you're going to enjoy the night anyway, because you know you get to know quite a lot of the people.
Have you made a lot of friends, both male and female?
I have, yeah.
Were you looking for anything specific when you joined?
Not really, no. There's just somebody to speak to and sort of enjoy the evenings with.
Were you lonely before you joined?
I was, sort of, yeah. I'd given up dancing, like, and I didn't go out very much.
And what have you found here?
Well, I feel that everybody's on this sort of same level, and everybody's just here to enjoy an evening. That's the way I feel about it.
Well, I'm here enjoying myself, number one. And possibly to meet a girlfriend. I have met a couple of girlfriends out here before, very nice girls I were. And there is a nice cross section of people here, young and old, to suit all tastes. And it's not a dancehall atmosphere. It's very informal. And the idea of the club is a very good one, I think.
What did you come here looking for? Why did you join the club, in fact?
Well, to meet people mostly. I like meeting people. And I have met quite a few people through the club. Very nice people. From all walks of life. Made many friends.
But you don't strike me as being the sort of person who would find it hard to make friends in other ways of life, in the pub, in ordinary discotheques, dance halls, that sort of thing. Why did you join this club?
Oh, well, I just saw it advertised and thought I would check it out, such as well as I've done many other clubs. And it's just primarily for a night out to meet people. Oh, I have met many people in other places, surely, but this is one of the best clubs, one of the better clubs.
Do you come to all the functions they organise here?
Almost all, yeah. And enjoy them all.
Have you found what you're looking for here?
Well, if I knew what I was looking for, I might find it, but I'm not that sure what I'm looking for.
I decided to come here because, first of all, I saw him on The Late Late, and my friend and I got together and we decided that it would be fun to come here and meeting people, and it was a night out. It's great to get together and you're meeting different people. Why do I come here tonight? Just to enjoy ourselves, meeting the same people again, getting together. You can go to discos and go dancing, but it's not the sort of people that I would enjoy being with. I find them very young, teenagers. Go to dances, you're not quite sure who you're going out with. It could be married people. Not really your type at all, you know. So these get-togethers, like, you know who you're going out with. They're good, respectable people.
I can see very well how that would be the system that we have could be open, but we try to curtail. We don't take any more than 150 at any function, and all we guarantee is that there will be an equal divide amongst the sexes, an exact even number. So for every man there'll be a girl, several girls in his own age group, and for every woman there'll be a man there, so that there's plenty of we'll say, socialising. But the geezer who comes and expects the married man for a bit on the side will be disappointed, because he has to sign a document saying that he is legally free to marry if he should desire to do so. And anybody who has other intentions, or who is committed, we'll say, already in marriage, realises that this is, in fact, a legal document, and I think that that is sufficient to shy him away.
I don't think you get the same atmosphere in a dance or a discotheque. The people here don't have the same sort of outlook or something. It's different. They don't want to just bring you off to bed as soon as they meet you. You know what I mean?
Oh, tonight is very good. Some nights are not so good. This is a very good night. Good music, and the band's playing at the right pitch, and there's a very nice crowd there.
Well, how would you define a night that wasn't so good?
Well, sometimes you'd be unlucky. You have you don't have enough accommodation in the hotel. The space might be a bit cramped, or the band wouldn't play a selection of music that would suit everybody, and they'll play a particular style and stick to that. This band here is very versatile. It keeps changing around and suits everybody. I think everybody's well pleased with the performance tonight.
So it's the band and not the people?
Oh, both. If you've got a lot of nice people and has a very bad band, the atmosphere is not right, and you get a lot of long faces and nobody seems to be enjoying themselves.
What about if you've got a very nice band and not such nice people? Has that happened?
Oh, that has happened too. Yes. But tonight now is a good combination. This is a very good party.
Have you found what you're looking for tonight?
I tell you, I wasn't sure what I was looking for. But anybody that wants to meet new friends, and it's a very good place to meet them. I've met many friends, but I'm what you'd call less or more a drifter. And just because I'm not settled down doesn't mean that I haven't met many nice people.
May I ask you a very, very personal question? Are you looking for a wife?
Maybe. It's possible that I am, if I met the right person. I'm not in no hurry settling down.
The singles parties, I think, are the best the best thing that we've done so far, in that we get the members together, all our own members and some who are not members. We'd say there'd be about 60% of our own members and 60% new blood, prospective members, and we get them all together, 150 of them, 75 of each sex, and we have the functions at different hotels. And we have the first hour is drinking, not an orgy, you know, at all, but an orange or a sherry or whatever it is, to help people to get to know each other before the dinner. And I think this is vital from a psychological point of view, that they can circulate. They don't have chairs, we don't have them sitting down, because there's much more when fellas get seated and the girls get seated, it's very hard to shift them, and it militates against good socialising, because you're kind of stuck with somebody when you're in a sitting position, and it would be a little bit perhaps rude or unmannerly to say, like, sorry, I'd better look for fresher pastures, you don't seem to suit my taste. So they circulate, and it's a natural thing, we'll say, if a fellow wants another drink, you know, to excuse me, and we introduce them by name. And this is the big thing, that each person is identifiable, a person with a name and an address. And it's not like what happens at an ordinary dance, that nobody knows exactly who the other person is. And when the reception is over, as I said, it lasts an hour, they go in then to dinner, and we try to make them, you know, mix around with the age groups. And the dinner is over, then we have a dance, that's it. And lots of people meet, and they have their lots of the Dubliners, especially, at least people based in Dublin. And we have quite a lot of people who are based in Dublin who are from the country. And in fact, some of our more successful weddings were people who went back down the country, incidentally. But the people who are based here have little get-togethers on their own, which is a nice thing. We have our socials once a month, one every month. And it is nice that they can get together, about a dozen or so of them, and have, you know, a little party, perhaps in their own flat, or go to a hotel or someplace like that. They don't pair off at the end of the night, but they may they arrange dates, we'll say, perhaps for the following weekend or for the following day, perhaps. I know that they do that. And that in that way, they, you know, the relationships are formed.
Lawrence of Mel and Company plays at most of Brendan Coffey's socials. He has the advantage of being something of an objective onlooker. People not involved in these introductory bureaus might wonder if there's something unusual or different about the sort of person who joins.
They're just the same as people you'd meet in pubs, just the same as any normal person you meet in the street. They're just maybe a little bit shy going into the pub or something like that, and maybe it's a person living on his own or her own, whatever the case may be, a person living in the country, and they like to come up to Brendan's functions and be introduced to people, formally introduced, whereas when you're at a disco, you don't know who you're dancing beside, you don't know who's who or what's what. You know, whereas when you come to one of Brendan's dances, you're brought along, you're introduced, you're made feel very, very at home and very relaxed, and carries on from there.
These agencies are, of course, absolutely confidential, and if members talk about the activities to their friends, that's a matter for themselves.
The girls are more open about it, I find. They talk to their girlfriends, and many of the girls who come to the functions, they come in pairs, you know, or even three people, you know, working in an office like that, or people who are members of the bureau as such, they tell their friends, you know, and like we ask them, where did you hear of the bureau? And it is very interesting, lots of them put down, from a friend, you know. The men are a little more closed up, or I suppose a little bit more shy about letting the fact be known that they are members of the bureau. But they don't mind telling people that they've been at the functions. There's less of a stigma if there is a bit about the functions, in that, as I said, it is open, you know, and a natural way. People have to be left, as I said, with their pride and their privacy. And for that reason, I wouldn't wonder that, you know, that they don't noise it abroad, that they are looking for a partner and that they have joined the bureau.
Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer.
Social introductory bureaus are a very human way of bringing people together, but as in every other business, the machine is now coming into its own, and computer dating agencies have been set up to complement the matchmaker and the marriage bureau. Drew McDool is a director of one of these, and he explains how it works.
Well, very briefly, we advertise in the newspapers, Sunday World, and all the provincial papers, and people send us back their inquiry, and we send them out a brochure asking them various questions about themselves and the type of people they'd like to meet. When they have sent this back with their fee, we enter them their details into the computer, where we select and match suitable members of the opposite sex and send them up to a minimum of guarantee 4 introductions.
Is this selection done entirely by computer, or is there any personal involvement?
It's done by computer.
Are you ever
completely.
Very tempted to match people together if you find two very suitable application forms?
It might be tempting, but we don't do it.
Can you tell me how many members you have?
Approximately 400 members.
And have you any idea what sort of people these are?
Yes, they're roughly speaking, there's 50% from the Dublin area and 50% outside. We have approximately 65% male members, and we would like more female members. They are spread evenly through the age groups of 17 to 40. We're smaller numbers when we go over 40. And the occupation ranges are equally spread so that we can offer our members a very good selection and fairly good matches.
Do you tend to match people of the same background, or does the computer match people from totally different backgrounds and who have totally different interests?
Very briefly, the computer is programmed to select, to make the matches as suitable as possible based on the questionnaire. But very briefly, those to summarise, it's number one based on area, occupation, education, age range, other interests, and some other questions that we ask about height, build, smoking, physical appearance and drinking habits, and religion.
I don't see anything about marital status on the form.
Well, actually, we do specify on the form that people must be single and over 17 years of age. We do accept legally separated people and widows and widowers.
But surely it must be very easy for people to lie on a form and to pretend they're single when in fact they're not. Has this happened?
It has happened on one occasion, and needless to say, when that person was found out very rapidly, as he was by one of our female members, we deleted him from our system and also informed one of our competitors, another dating service, computer dating service, who also eliminated him from their books.
Eileen Bartram and her husband Alan run another computer dating agency, and she sees theirs as one way of minimising the rebuffs that many young hopefuls come up against at social outings.
When you're at a disco or at a party, if you're a little on the shy side, you stand the chance of being turned down flat, straight to your face, which is a bit hurtful. Here, you're contacted by post or by telephone, and you have the chance to have a chat or to write to someone, and then you meet. And you're not going to be turned down flat straight to your face, which is a bit off-putting for most men anyway, if not girls, I find.
So do you think it's mostly shy people who apply to you?
I think it's a lot of shy and a lot of lonely people. They're not all shy or all lonely, but I think a lot are, which I was surprised to find, actually, when I first started. There are lots and lots of lonely people. And they don't have to be. Mm. All they have to do is write to us.
And you'll provide the perfect date.
Well, I didn't say the perfect date, but as near as damn it is, really.
Well, if you were applying, what sort of man would you look for?
Oh, I don't know. He'd have to be very handsome, I think, and very rich.
I suppose one might imagine the sort of person who would resort to a computer dating agency wouldn't have much going for them. But one of the people I met was young, vivacious, and very attractive.
Well, when we went to discos and things like this, when we were out at dances, we were just kind of picked up. It was like a cattle market. And when we saw the ad, we sort of said, well, might as well have a go, because, I mean, to say you're going to meet the type of person that you're matched to, we thought. And we just thought we'd inquire and find out what was all about, you know? Because we're kind of fed up with this idea. When you go into a disco, if you go into a bar or anything like that, you're just kind of picked up and, you know, you're not kind of treated as a person. You're just kind of there. You are on the make sort of thing, you know? So we decided the best thing to do would be see what this is like, you know?
But in another way, this was surely putting yourself and your friend on the market, as it were.
No, no, it's not. No, no, it's not like that at all. Well, in a way, like, you have a point there. You're kind of new to it. You would say that. But when you do get the, like, the forms and all, you see the way it's laid out. Have you seen a form?
I have, yes.
Well, I mean, you know, when you see that automatically, you know that the person who would enter this kind of thing is surely wants to meet somebody different, like not the type run of the mill. You know, when you meet somebody first, what do? You put on a big visage and you start saying, you know, I'm such and such, and pretending you're like this, and you're not. Well, what's the point in, you know, going through this big long preamble and then eventually finding at the end of 9 months probably that you're just not at all suited? Whereas this way, I mean, you're just going to meet somebody you know that's going to be your type, and, well, as you saw from the form, I mean, you can't really lose, you know. And anybody I've met on Data Date, you know, we really had a great time.
What sort of person were you looking for?
I was looking, what sort of person? I was looking for a type, somebody who was interested in what I was interested in. You know, not a big clash of personalities when you meet somebody. But I was, what could you say? We're just looking for somebody who was more interested. Like, it's hard for me to say who I was interested in. For a start, the things I was interested in could be boring, completely boring to somebody else. So surely when you join something like that, and as you see from that, well, they're going to be interested in the same thing you're interested in. So that's what I was after, really. You know, somebody who had more in... kind of snooty to say intelligence, isn't it? But there's something like that, you know?
So I went to London for 4 months for a training course, and I joined a company in London called Dateline. And I did it really because I was there for 4 months. I wanted to have an immediate circle of friends, and I had great success from it. I got 6 dates from it. I went out with 3 or 4 of them. And more important, how I got on with the dates was that I got into a circle of friends. I joined their circles of friends, and I found it very successful. And that's really how the idea came up, because Data Date was the first company in Ireland to start computer dating.
First of all, when I got the first letter, was from I won't mention his name, but anyway, I got a very nice letter. After I sent it in, I was kind of wary. Oh, God, I've gone and made a mess of it. You know, I shouldn't have bothered, and I should have stuck to the bar. But then when I got the letter from him, it was really nice, you know, and he was very shy, but very witty, you know. And, reading the letter, I was in stitches, you know. So I rang him, and we had a date, and we went out to, where do we go? Yeah, we were searching for puffins, which must have been taken off the market. We just couldn't find it anyway. And then we went to a film afterwards, you know. We were really shy at first, but... then again, you know, we knew what we were talking about. I knew what he was like, really, basically, and he knew what I was like, basically. So we could have sat all night in one cafeteria talking, you know, because it was so funny. We really laughed our heads off because he was a really witty person, you know. But, of course, I've gone on a few dates, you know, but he stuck in my mind, you know, still does.
Did you meet him often afterwards?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I met him on a couple of, like, at first he was still kind of shy as to ring me, or whether I was the same, should I ring him, you know, maybe he didn't really like me or vice versa, but I just said, oh, to hell with it. So I did ring him, and he said, oh God, I wanted to ring you, and he told me the same thing again, you know, what I'd felt. So we've met, kind of, we still are meeting, you know, and I like to meet him, sort of, you know. It'd be nice if you could meet him, because then you'd understand more so than what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm delighted with Dateline anyway, you know. But
you were offered 6 dates. Did you get 6 dates?
I did get 6 dates. Okay, yeah. Something happened with 2. Yeah, we were chatting on the phone. I was chatting on the phone to one of them. He rang me actually, and we were talking for about a half an hour length on the phone. But I never heard from him after that. So basically, I suppose he didn't like what he got.
The computer dating agency, run by Eileen Bartram and her husband Alan, claims to provide you with a direct link to the type of person you are constantly searching for when you go to parties, dances and discos. It eliminates the frustration caused by constantly exchanging partners in the hope of finding the ideal person.
Some people are fed up with the normal dating methods. Some people are too shy for the normal dating methods. And I think if people sit down and think about it... when you meet somebody, the first and only thing that you have is a physical attraction. When you meet somebody through Data Date with a computer program that we have, you're going to have somebody in the right age, the right height, the right build, the right religion, the same social background as yourself, and the same educational background as yourself. And more important, he or she is going to have the type of interests that you are interested in. And... I think that this more than compensates for the lack of physical attraction, which, of course, might still be there when you meet the person.
What sort of traits do you think are most important?
Well, I think you're dealing with such a cross-section of people. I don't think there's any traits that are important. I think providing the form is filled in genuinely, you're going to meet the type of person that you want to meet.
Well, are people very concerned about religion? Do they want the same religion?
Yes, I suppose... especially in the older group, most people want to meet somebody of their own religion, I suppose, especially if they're interested in marriage.
And do they want somebody who's slightly better social class as themselves, or much the same?
I don't think you can generalise. When we break it down into 4 social classes, upper, middle, and working, And I think it's very difficult to define. You might have a man who's a manual labourer who considers himself middle class, and you might have a man who's a professional man who considers himself working class. It's very difficult. I think generally people like to meet people of their own class and of their own educational background.
What about the hobbies and interests? Is there a place on the form for that sort of thing?
Well, our form is broken down into 84 categories, which interests are about 20 of them, which covers literally every general interest you can imagine. Such as bridge, social work, classical music, sports, pop music, dining out, quiet evenings, etc. It's a very large category. And in most cases, you'll find people fill in probably 40, 50% of the interests that they have and the interests that they would like people to have. And surprisingly, usually you'll find that people want, in many cases, opposites. Like you might have somebody who enjoys drinking, doesn't want his partner to drink, or vice versa. Some people want people the same as themselves, some people want opposites. And really, they get what they ask for.
Whether you go to a pub, a dance hall, or a disco, or whether you join a computer dating agency or a social introductory bureau, is a matter for yourself. It is, of course, up to the individual how he or she sets about meeting people. Frankie Byrne has been well known for years to radio listeners for her help in dealing with problems of human relations, and she too has her views on how people should meet people.
Now, I'm not against dance halls. I think that's where you go to enjoy yourself. But it has happened, of course, where two people have met like that, and no doubt about that. But I think the chances are very slim there, because the men or the boys are going there to enjoy themselves, and nowadays they don't go till very late, so most of them, until the pubs are closed. And I don't think, honestly, marriage is on their mind at dances. I would advise them... more or less, they'd have to ask themselves what sort of person they are. I think an awful lot of people lack self-knowledge, and they're more or less just looking out to get a man or get a prospective husband. But if they stop to think, what are their interests, what are their, not hobbies, I don't mean hobbies and interests, but what type of person they are. And the best thing I think would be to do, number one, is go to some place that interests them. And obviously, I'm talking about evening classes, probably, maybe social work, hospital visits. And then, if they are concerned, caring people themselves, that's where they're likely to bump into somebody doing exactly the same thing. Because I don't have to tell you that there's more in life than sharing an interest in jazz or football or rugby or something like that, you know, or having the same hobbies. I think they have to be very careful, or they should be, to see that they've the same attitude about how they regard family life, whether they're very prudish or they're liberal in their attitude or outlook, whether the religious background would come in. I know there's very successful marriages of different religious backgrounds, but if they're really looking for a husband in a fairly calculating way, I think perhaps they should consider these similar traits when they're looking for somebody, rather than whether he has a big car or whether he's good-looking or prospective good jobs.